Thank you for listening to this Podcast One Sportsnet production, available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Price drop? Time to shop. Get to a Nordstrom Rack store today for first dibs on new markdowns. Now score even more, up to 70% off brands everyone loves at Nordstrom Rack. Denim, dresses, sneakers, tops, and more. Plus, get genius deals on jackets, sweaters, and boots for the whole family. Shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and save up to 70% with new markdowns. But hurry, deals this great won't last.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Welcome to the Dr. Hockey Podcast.
Welcome to the Dr. Hockey Podcast. I've got a very special guest today, a return engagement for Jim Fox. Jim, how are you doing?
Doing great, Doc. Thanks very much for having me again.
Oh, I'm really glad you could do it. You know, the last time I saw you was actually at the Russian 5 showing down at Staples. That was right. Very cool.
That was cool. It's a great story. It's an interesting story. It's an exciting story. A lot to be learned from it. And I think it's become very, very popular.
Yeah, that film is going off. I wonder if they'll do an upgraded. They should do like a fictional version of it. It would be kind of cool. And you could add all the goodies into it. So it'd be fun. Well, it looks like you're out there in Vegas and enjoying the playoffs. I mean, what a great venue, and the two teams are amazing. It looks like, you know, the Golden Knights got off to a pretty good start last night. Were you at the game?
Yes, I've been doing various games throughout the second round, and now I'll be doing the entire series, Vegas against Montreal. For the Vegas games, we're in Vegas. For Montreal, we're not going to travel to Montreal. Restrictions in Canada, you have to quarantine and a whole bunch of stuff. So it's basically a hotel and arena if you're in Montreal, and back and forth, and you can't go anywhere else. So we're going to be doing them out of our studios in Simi Valley. So Los Angeles, basically, and get it done that way. But yeah, it's coming out of the pandemic, so to speak. When you see a full building like Vegas had, the T-Mobile Arena, and, you know, everyone just hopping and yelling and screaming. I did a couple of games at the Nassau Veterans Memorial Coliseum in Long Island.
Yeah.
Bruins and the Islanders. So that was packed also. So I think it's going a long way to help everyone hopefully get back to a normal.
Well, it looked like they were a sold out crowd there last night. It was going crazy. I mean, the Golden Knights definitely rose to the occasion. But, you know, I think that game would have been a lot closer than it seemed on the ice. I think that both teams were really gunning it. And Marc-Andre Fleury, I mean, what an amazing, just the story. And then the fact that he's done, you know, we're going to leave him exposed for the expansion draft. And he's the premier goaltender in these playoffs. I mean, he's incredible.
Yeah. You know, 36 years of age, I believe. And he's up for the Vezina Trophy this year, which really surprises everyone because this is the first time he's ever been nominated for the Vezina Trophy and in all the years he's been around. So just a great story. And, you know, there is an attitude issue with Fleury and which makes it, he's so positive. He has so much fun. And I think that goes a long way to keeping him, you know, the energy he needs, the motivation you need at this age, at his age, to make sure he keeps going, and you know, all the preparation that goes into it. You've got to have it up here first, and he's got it up there, and he just goes to the rink every day with a big smile, has a great time, and he brings that into these games.
He sure does. I mean, my wife and I, when we go to the, we've seen them play in T-Mobile, and we've seen them play obviously when they come to Staples and Anaheim, and we just always, and we were at Stanley Cup games watching him play when he's with Pittsburgh, and just when he talks to those goalposts, it is just such It's really hilarious. He's really like a superstitious guy that way, and he feels they're part of his clan and taking care of the net.
Yeah, and you know he has great conversations with the officials, and he's always laughing and smiling. His defenseman comes back to him. He's got a big smile on his face, and you know what? In the middle of a pressure filled situation, I think that takes a lot of pressure off everyone because they see how he's handling it, and they feel, hey, well, if he's going to have fun, I'm going to have fun too.
Well, it was really cool. I mean, the Golden Knights really did play strong last night, but it is a 7-game series for that reason. They've got loads of offensive weapons. Max Pacioretty probably has a little bit of extra hop in his step playing against Montreal. What did you think about Montreal last night when they showed up? I mean, you know, I'm sure Tyler Toffoli really well, and there's Corey Perry, like, kind of, you know, cracking the whip and making things happen, but they had a great first period. What happened after that?
Well, they got themselves into some penalty trouble, which got them out of a rotation. They had a good rotation going, a good rhythm, a good tempo to their game. Yeah, I mean, the first 10 minutes, first 15 minutes, first period, Montreal outplayed Vegas. And during the broadcast, I ended up saying, I said, you know, there was no score yet. And I said, Montreal has to score first in this game because they played so well. And as soon as Vegas scored, I felt at least that it's just insurmountable to come back. I mean, going into the series, I mean, to me, Vegas is a heavy, heavy favorite.
Oh, yeah.
And that's, I'm not taking anything away from Montreal. I'm just, that's the way I see it. I see their balance. I see their depth. I see the speed and size combination that they have. I don't think many teams that Montreal has played have that. And, you know, I would say, you know, Vegas in five, and my second guess would be Vegas in four. I mean, that's how strongly I believe that they just have more than Montreal has to give. I felt Montreal played a pretty good game, and they end up losing. And those are the opportunities, especially in a series, when you play well, especially when you're the underdog. When you play well, you have to get that win. And unfortunately for Montreal, they played well, but they couldn't get the win.
Well, you know, and you hear the guys on, you know, NHL Tonight and on NBC Sports Network all saying Montreal's playing with house money at this point. Like, they didn't expect to be here. So, like, good for them. Let's see what they can do. I think the Vegas Golden Knights are truly on a mission. And they're picking up, like, all through this, you know, for shortened season, picking up Alex Pietrangelo. I mean, there are things that Vegas did that really have set them on a course, you know, for the Stanley Cup. I would be shocked if Montreal is able to pull it out at all, but I think we'll see when they go back to their home court if there's any changeover. I think it's going to be a tough game on Wednesday night for Montreal and Vegas. That place is insane. It is really rocking.
I think to a certain extent, in all honesty, I think it helps Montreal. Because they have not played in front of crowds. And even though it's a home crowd for Vegas, I just think the energy in the building is something that Montreal has not experienced in over a year now. And I think it gives them a little bit of energy, a little bit of life. I just don't think they have the roster to meet up with Vegas. And I think most people feel the way I do as far as even if it was Colorado making it through, I think the same would have been there, is that those two teams seem to have the strength that certainly in these matchups here in the semifinal, Montreal would be difficult to overcome both. But again, I have no problem saying what I'm saying. I have no problem giving Vegas the heavy favorite. At the same time, I've been through it many times before where that's why you play the games. I mean, that's what you're going for. And, you know, would I be surprised if Montreal? Yeah, I would be astonished if they come back, but it's still possible. And, you know, they showed me last night in the first period that, they're speedy forwards and, you know, two-man pressure on the forecheck. They can give you a little trouble because they're buzzing all over the place and they don't give you much time to move the puck.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, that is the key. I mean, I think this combination of veteran players and young blood on Montreal is really – it's exciting to watch. And you see how they're able to kind of – you see the old guard, but you also see these fast – I mean Cole Caulfield, obviously something else. I mean, he's got a big, big, bright career ahead of him for sure, but he's showing up in these playoffs and it's pretty exciting.
Yeah. This will be a great experience for him. 20 years old, hasn't even played a full NHL season, jump in right from the University of Wisconsin. And, you know, he's the modern day type of player in that he's not all that big, but it doesn't matter anymore. The rules have been amended over the years that allows, you know, the hooking and holding and the brute force to a certain extent to be taken away and out of the game. So you can't hold up anymore. You can't grab, you can't get your body in the way. You have to play a skilled game. And the guy like Caulfield, you know, you get the sense that he knows exactly where that next opening is going to be. He's quick enough to get there. He's quick enough to dodge the traffic. Yeah, he's going to get hit every once in a while, but it's not going to stop him. And then we've seen it at different levels. We probably saw it on his rebound goal last night. His release is fantastic. The amount of force and energy gets into a shot. You know, the modern day technology with the sticks and how you use that to make it work. He's a dynamic player.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. It was fun that his family was there, and it was an exciting moment, I'm sure, for them. Before we jump over to speaking of brute force, the Islanders and the Tampa Bay team, I wanted to talk to you about what you're up to lately, because I understand that you're like now like a vintner. Are you now like a winemaker?
Well, it's been a while now. I'm a co-founder of a wine brand called Patinet Cellars.
Yeah, I think we talked about that.
Yeah. It's French. Patinet is French for to have skated, the past tense of skate. So we make our winemaker. His name is Mike Smith. He's not the goaltender in Edmonton, but phenomenal job he does for us. And we make single vineyard designate Pinot Noir. So we have three different Pinot Noirs. They all come from three different vineyards. We don't blend those together. We bottle them separately. Our first vintage was back in 2011. So
wow,
we've had a lot of going. So our current release is the 2018. So basically what we do is we ferment the juice and then we put it in oak for about 8 to 10 months, 50% new French oak. Then we put it in bottle for a whole year. We don't release it right away. We like to settle down a little bit to get a little bit of maturity within the bottle, inside the bottle. So like I said, 18 is our current release. 2019 will be released coming this fall.
Wow. Where are the grapes from?
We have three vineyards that we source grapes from. Two of them are in the Petaluma Gap, which is basically Santa Rosa, Sonoma Coast. Yeah. So if you're looking towards the mountain in Santa Rosa, that's basically where Gap's Crown Vineyard is and Sun Chase Vineyard. So two of those vineyards right there in the Petaluma Gap of the Sonoma Coast. Then we have one vineyard that we source from south of that, about 45 minutes south of Monterey. It's called Santa Lucia Highlands area, the AVA there. And Sobranos is the name of the vineyard. So we feel we have three world-class vineyards. We have a world-class winemaker in Mike Smith. I think Mike just been given, he has his own wine label, but he's just been given his 17th 100-point score. So it's going very well. Yeah.
Well, that sounds good. I'll have to stop by High Time Cellars there in Newport.
Only off our website. We're direct to customer, only off the website. We don't make a lot. We're very, very small. So Patinet Cellars, PatinetCellars.com. And that's where you can find it. We'll ship it right to you.
All right, we'll put it up on the Instagram and get it out to everybody for sure.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, that was very interesting. I was like, then Pinots are my favorite, by the way. Ah. So I will order up a bunch. I got to support
very nice.
The game.
You very know? Nice.
That's cool. So back over to the to the Islanders. Like this first game, I don't want to know what the score is now. So I'm taping it. I'm going to watch it tonight. And by the way, taping it shows you my age. I'm recording it, I guess. I thought this first game, the Islanders played a textbook Barry Trotz Islanders game. Did you think so?
Yes. I think that's the one thing that you're going to get from the Islanders. You're going to get a consistent, they're not going to change and they're not going to beat themselves. So you're going to have to find ways to break through what they provide, and that they provide structure. They don't come at you all that hard because they're very comfortable in defending. At the same time, if you make a mistake, that's when they kill you. And I know on the first goal of the game one, turnover, actually kind of a double turnover by Stamkos, and all of a sudden it's back the other way. And that's kind of what they wait for. I think in all honesty, it's not the most exciting brand of hockey. because they are kind of counter punching. They're waiting to see what you're going to do first. At the same time, when you get a group of players like that, Barry Trotz is the head coach, Lou Lamoriello, of course, and the executive, they select players that are going to play their roles, be happy with their roles, and not, you know, low maintenance. And that's what they get from the players. And it's so effective on the ice.
You know, and by the way, they are where they are without their captain. You know, Anders Lee is sitting up in the box watching the games. I mean, I feel awful for the guy, but, you know, that just shows you the depth of this team.
Yeah, you know, they added Kyle Palmieri at the trade deadline. He scored like 2 goals for them in the regular season. Nothing. He really wasn't. Then he's got 7 or 8 now in the playoffs already. So just the type of fit that they felt they needed to replace Anders Lee, you know, just the offense, at least around the net. Palmieri's more of a sniper than Lee is. I think Lee's a big body that goes to the front, bangs in rebounds. But Palmieri, you know, he loves that traffic area, and he goes there. To me, they picked him up a year ago. J.G. Pageau, to me, is he's the Swiss Army knife. He fits everywhere. He does everything. He's a power play. He's a penalty kill. He's offensive. He can shut you down. He can take faceoffs. I don't think he's underrated, so to speak, because he does so many things. I think everyone realizes his value and importance, but I think he will start to get more and more credit as it goes along.
Yeah, he was he's an exciting player. I mean, I think I don't remember if it was when he was on it may have been when he was up in Ottawa.
Ottawa, for sure.
Yeah, and he gave the Penguins so much trouble on the way to the Stanley Cup that I just said, this kid is going to be something else, and he has matured into a, like you said, I love the analogy of the Swiss Army knife, because he really is totally versatile, and he's a power player, and, you know, he'll throw a mean check if he needs to. He's all over the place, and he's done great for the Islanders. I mean, I think the Islanders are playing just like I said, it's a textbook Islanders win. And, you know, I'll see what happens tonight, and so will you. But it's exciting because, I mean, the Tampa Bay Lightning is no slouch of a team. And so to be able to get in the ring with those guys, it's a big deal.
Yeah, you know, I guess the way I explain it many times is this. If both teams play their best, I say the Lightning wins. Much like if the both teams play their best in the other series, I think it's Vegas that's going to win. But especially with the Islanders, especially with them, they do all these little things that prevent you from playing your best.
Right.
And that's their DNA. They're there to disrupt. They're not there to overtake you or, you know, swarm. They're just there to disrupt what you're trying to do. And when you do that and then you try to force it, that's when they kill you.
And you saw it. You saw Steven Stamkos and you saw Kucherov making mistakes. You know, these guys don't make mistakes. They were making errors. Killorn made errors. They don't make those kind of mistakes unless they're forced to. And as you said, I know the Islanders, they probably were grinning ear to ear walking into the locker room taking one in Tampa Bay. You know, that was a very big deal.
Yeah. And you know what? I found a similar thing with the game last night here in Vegas where I felt Pacioretty was forcing things. His line did not have a good game at all. No. And I felt he, because former Montreal captain, he really wanted to have a great impression in the first game. And it wasn't going their way. And he started to, you know, try these passes into the middle and turning it over. And I'm sure that the coaching staff are just going to kind of calm him down in that they want to make sure that he's there to help them out as opposed to, you know, don't force it here. You know, the overwhelming power and skill of Vegas, if they just kind of steamroll you, they're going to get there. You don't have to force it. But he was, and it cost him a couple times. Didn't cost him on the scoreboard, but it cost him in chances against.
Yeah, no, I saw that too. I mean, Pacioretty, when he's calm, cool, and collected, he's deadly. He's a natural goal scorer. He makes Mark Stone, you know, a 3 times better player than he is without Pacioretty. I think he's got all the goods that it takes to really do some damage. And I think he scored his 300th goal or something, right? Was that last night?
Yeah. He's got a really heavy shot in that he doesn't give you any visual cues that he's going to shoot. He doesn't have a big backswing. You know, he doesn't have to really load it up. He just has the great hands, great wrists, and he surprises so many people because before you know it, the puck's on top of you. It doesn't look like he's leaning into it, but he gets a lot on it.
Well, we'll see where that goes. There's a couple other little nuggets that I think was interesting over the last day or two. I like, what do you think about the coaching change in New York with Gallant taking over the Rangers?
Yeah, it's, you know, I know Gallant more than I know the Rangers because of the time he did spend here in Vegas when they went to the Cup the first year. It looks like the Rangers are on their way up. It looks like I enjoy watching the Rangers. I think they play a very exciting brand of hockey. They like to attack. They like their defensemen to get involved. I like everyone going forward. So it's a lot of fun to watch them. Very dynamic approach. And I think Gallant, in the past, he's had teams that stress offense. So it's not like he's not like a coach that comes in like a Barry Trotz and really settles things down and stabilizes a foundation of defense. Yes, you need that, and Gallant will help provide that. But I think he's not afraid to open it up a little bit, and I think that may be the best fit. Looks like a pretty good fit for the Rangers.
Yeah, that's it's interesting. I got a text from former Ranger Ron Duguay, of all people, and I said, I think that this is really what's going to open it up for Fox and for Artemi Panarin, you know, and the weapons that they have on that team, I think are really going to benefit from Gallant's coaching style. And I think it'll be an exciting year for the Rangers. They definitely have acquired some firepower. And I think Mika Zibanejad is just, he's a force. That guy is just, he's giant and he's got a mean shot and he's fast as could be. I think with the right combinations of players, and maybe his line that he has now is okay, but I think he's going to keep getting better and better. I love watching him play. He's really fun.
Yeah, and of course they're going to have, you know, two younger players, Capo and Lafreniere, that, you know, are very, very high picks. And, you know, in 2 to 3 years, they're going to be right at it and they're going to be producing. And that's going to make that just at the right time. It's not like the Rangers will have to go out and acquire anyone else.
No.
They already have them. It's just they're young right now and they're maturing. But when they mature, the firepower just goes up even more.
Yeah, I think the Devils keep saying that same thing, although it hasn't panned out for them. I hope it does. I mean, they have some great players that haven't made it happen. Back to the hometown. What's it like watching Tyler Toffoli play for Montreal? He had a banner year.
Yeah, phenomenal. I mean, he's a player that when we saw him with the Kings when he was at his best, he's not a fast skater. There's a few running backs in the NFL that kind of like where they don't hit the line with a whole bunch of speed. They wait for the hole to develop and then they, you know, accelerate. And I think Tyler's that type of player. He doesn't have to be at top speed, but when the opening is there, that's when he kicks it up a notch. And his release, his shot is, it's right up. It's top 5% in the league. So he's doing fine there. And, you know, I know how it works in the business of sports and all the Kings, you know, and Jeff Carter. Well, you know what? If Jeff Carter would have been doing what he was doing with the Penguins as he's doing with the Kings, he would still be with the Kings.
Totally.
He was not engaged. Jeff Carter was not engaged at the end. He just wasn't. And that's I understand what's going on there. You know, you have a team that's in a rebuild. He's at the end of his career or coming, you know, the back nine, so to speak. And, you know, I just don't think that he was engaged 100%. And then, of course, you go to a new life, a new thing, a team that has some superstars that – and it keeps going. Tyler's in the other – you know, Tyler's – he's leading that team. Like, he is taking control of that team. And they're kind of following him offensively. Like, what's the top line of Montreal right now? Well, it's Suzuki, Toffoli, and Caulfield. That's the top line. I mean, it's not the veteran line. It's not, you know, Deneau gets the shutdown and Gallagher and all that. But to me, the top line on Montreal, the line you have to worry about the most offensively would be Tyler's line.
Definitely. I mean, he put up big numbers this year for Montreal. He didn't put up numbers like that for the Kings. And, you know, I think it's great for him. I mean, he's a, you know, super nice guy. Interestingly, my dad, who is retired in Maui, works at a golf course where his entire wedding party showed up before the wedding. I don't know if you went, but
I did not, but I've seen pictures.
So my dad calls me, he goes, all right, do you know any of these names? Jones, he was like Martin Jones, Dave Andrechuk, Tyler Toffoli. I was like, yeah, I know all those names. What are you talking about? He's like,
there you go.
We're all playing golf in my court. He's a starter there. Like, that's his retirement gig.
Right.
You know, nice. It's just, I think it's just so he can get the free golf. But he lives across the street from the course. And he said they were a hell of a nice people. I said, they're great guys. I mean, they're really solid and just awesome players. So I'm happy for Tyler. I was really happy to see Jeff Carter make a contribution for the Penguins. I mean, obviously, you know, that's my my team. So I have my surgical hat here.
There you go.
But it was great to watch him because I know they brought him in as, you know, a face-off man, and he did way more than that. He really delivered.
I mean, you know what you're going to get from Crosby. You know that. Everything else taken into consideration, expectations, I think Jeff Carter brought more than anyone else on the team. That's what I felt in the playoffs. I felt he raised his game to a level that maybe was unexpected. I'm sure Pittsburgh were going to say no. That's why they traded for him. They knew he could do it. You know, the importance would go to Crosby. He'd be your first guy. But I think the next guy in line in the playoffs was Jeff Carter.
Yeah, he was spectacular. So fun to watch him. He was – and that's the other thing. I think it was just a surprise to the other team. It was an X factor they didn't expect. And, you know, kudos to Ron Hextall for, you know, making that move. I mean – that was a strong move and it really paid off. Unfortunately, of course, the Islanders trounced him, but that's all right. We're all
I would say with Jeff Carter, the best player in the best series I ever saw.
Yeah.
So that's the semifinal series against the Chicago Blackhawks in 14. I think Jeff Carter was the best player in that series. And not only me, independent sources, non-Blackhawk, non-King sources, they say that's the most exciting series they've ever seen. And I'm ready to put that at the top of my list too.
I agree. That was a killer series, and it was really fun to watch. And you're right, Jeff Carter, you know, made a name for himself of epic levels to go down in history books, not just for the Kings, but I think in the NHL for a long time. It was great watching him play. Well, Jim, any other final thoughts on the playoffs? Who do you think is going to win the Stanley Cup?
Well, I'm going to tell you who I hope wins the Stanley Cup.
All right.
I hope it's the Tampa Bay Lightning repeating again. I'd like to think that they can overcome what the Islanders can bring. I think the Islanders are going to give trouble to any team they play, whether it's Tampa Bay right now, whether it's Montreal, or whether it's Vegas next round. They're going to make it difficult. But I like the style of Tampa Bay. I don't think they're the best team. I think the best team is the team that I don't want to see win. So I'll leave it at that. How's that?
All right. Well, let's see what happens. I really appreciate you coming on. Give us your vineyard, your website for your wine one more time.
Oh, thank you for that. I appreciate that. It's Patine, so P is in Paul, so it's PatineCellars.com. And if you just want to Google Jim Fox's wine, it'll come up right there for you. So
oh, good. All right. Good. Well, you know. We'll get. I know our followers are guys like us, so they're gonna be on it. We don't have like knuckleheads like listening to this thing. These people like they like wine, they like expensive cars, and they like expensive golf. So
perfect.
We have learned that about our listeners. It's a very curated demographic. So it's not a bad thing.
I'm glad to be part of it.
Absolutely. No, we're happy you could come on. We always love your commentary and enjoy the playoffs. I'm sure it's going to be a lot of fun to get. Are you doing stuff for the cup too?
I will not do anything in the final. No, I've decided enough's enough for me right now. So we got a big summer coming up. My wife's 60th birthday and our 40th anniversary. So
wow.
we're going to have a chance. So hopefully now everything's kind of getting back to normal. So we're going to have a lot of time to celebrate.
Well, that sounds great. Congratulations. 40 years. That is no small feat. So
that's a tough one. Yeah.
Congrats, man. Well, I appreciate you coming on and we'll probably re-engage back in the fall with the new season. I'm looking forward to a full 82 game season and we'll go from there.
All right. Thanks for having me again. Appreciate
it. Thanks, Jim. All right. Take care.
Thanks for listening to Dr. Hockey. Check out new episodes every Thursday. And subscribe on Apple Podcasts or at podcastone.com.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
If you have kids or pets, you know stains and odors in your carpet and upholstery are inevitable. But the experts at ChemDry can help. ChemDry removes odors and stubborn stains by sending millions of carbonating bubbles deep within your carpet. ChemDry lifts dirt, urine, and stains to the surface to then be extracted away, giving you a cleaner and healthier home. Call 1-800-CHEMDRY or visit ChemDry.com to connect with your local ChemDry and learn about special offers in your area. That's 1-800-CHEMDRY or visit ChemDry.com today.